Right, and we are now about to embark on the wonderful journey to understand what happens when church is just not the way that it's supposed to be. And who's going to wander with us on that journey? But none other than Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Ministry. You can find information at anchorsaway.org or go to kellyandsteve.org right under the resources tab. We've got links to all the ministry partners that you hear here. And Nancy, what do you mean by this statement about when the church just is not the way that it's supposed to be?
Yes, you know, it is an amazing thing that's happening in our culture. Everything seems in chaos. Now it seems chaos plus upside down. My 4-year-old granddaughter, Victoria, was so excited to finally get to go to school. She said she was waiting for school her whole life, and she's 4 anyway. But she lived for this day for weeks. And the evening before her big day, she laid her clothes out on the floor next to her bed, like, you know, millions of other kids, along with her new Elsa backpack that had new crayons in it, period. And she got up very early the next morning, put on her dressiest dress, threw on some of her mother's makeup, you know, that she saves for only special events. And then after breakfast, she went back to the table and sat in front of her computer at the age of 4 for 2 hours for pre-K. You know, it's just not the way it's supposed to be. It's just not. And you know, I thought about this. First, I was humored by it. And then I thought, wow, what an interesting picture of our own culture. In disarray, and sadly, so is the church at large, not all churches. But I was reminded of Revelation 3:15-17, where we learn about the church of Laodicea. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked.
So, Nancy, then, with some churches today, I mean, that's Laodicea, and that's a warning for us even today as we read it. But looking at the modern church today, how bad is the situation for us right now?
Yes. Well, keep in mind, our command from Jesus himself is to love God and to love others. And, you know, this whole idea of that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Only 16% of church goers recognize this verse. Imagine, which is the gospel. And here's another one. Our charge is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And this just rolls off the lips of so many people, Christians, who live by this. But only 30% or 37% of churchgoers even recognize this phrase, which is, to me, so sad.
Well, then tell us, how does this contrast with the Acts 2 church, the first church in Jerusalem?
Yeah, well, in Acts 2, 39-33, we see the pattern, the model of a church be focused, and we see this from Peter's sermon. The focus was always on the gospel, which is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, his preaching was powerful, And as a result, many came to the faith, not only the first day, but of course, throughout his life, until he gave his life up for his belief. But he says this, and I think it's just so important that as we're hopefully coming out of COVID, that's my positive view of life. Brothers, I can speak confidently to you about our forefather David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. So then, because he was a prophet and he knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, David, by foreseeing this, spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus God raised up, and we are all witnesses of it. So then, exalted to the right hand of God, and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out what you both see and hear. So it's just so powerful, the message of the death and resurrection. It gives us all hope. It reinforces to us in the worst instances, including China that you all were talking about earlier, that God can bring people who have died when they have faith in him to life. And we see Paul jumping all over this whenever he spoke, some 30 years after the resurrection in 2 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you of first importance what I also received. And this is the gospel. This is where we hear the gospel. And he says this, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep.
Well, Nancy, for
the amazing story of the resurrection. Yeah. It just blows my mind.
I was going to say, for us who've been Christians for a while, I mean, we understand that verse. We understand the implications and everything that's being said. But for somebody that maybe we're sharing our faith with, then how do we very simply, easily, accurately explain how to become a Christian? That might be a little overwhelming for someone that's not familiar with the faith, but who is interested in coming to the faith.
Yeah, and I think it's clear and simple. Believe in the good news of Jesus. You know, John 3:16, we all know this. You know, we've heard this forever, but God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And this faith does not come through hard work, by attendance, by getting on committees. You know, again, Paul says it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. So there it is, very simple. But you know what? We have to just believe that the foundation of our faith is on the death and on the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, Nancy, you know, when we go back and we think of Matthew, in particular, Matthew 7:15, there is a statement in this that we've got to understand that there will be those who seek to harm, right? There are false prophets who come to us. Yeah. They are in the sheep's clothing, but they are inwardly those ravenous wolves. And we're talking about the fruit that we see in their life. How do we apply that verse, of verse 15, in our life today?
Yeah, and I think the mark that we will hear and see from the wolves is simply this, and no false religion or any cult will claim that Jesus Christ died and rose again. That's why the gospel is so important, proving that Jesus Christ is God, the Father's Son. And this is the tipping point. And Jesus made it very clear by being a Christian is not an easy journey. And so many wolves out there are promising the prosperity gospel. If you name it and claim it, Jesus will give it to you. And clearly, we see in Scripture, this just, frankly, is not the case. Being a Christian can be often a very difficult journey. And it's not because we don't have enough faith. It's part of what happens in this broken world. And pain and persecution, sickness and suffering are what many of us will face in this world until we who are saved are taken to heaven. Because there is a better time coming. That is the hope that we have. But through, Jesus teaches us, through his victory on the cross over death, we have nothing long-term or short-term to fear. Because we know that Christians, no matter how much they suffer, they will be whole again. And that's why James said, listen, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect on you, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking for anything. So this whole idea of churches, so many of them, and that with the prosperity issues, are misleading so many, and we just have to be careful. You know, it's interesting. I went to church this last Sunday. Now we all have. Some people love big and loud and noisy and entertainment. I don't know at churches, but it was interesting because I hadn't been there in so long. And so I went, everybody wore masks and respected and practiced social distancing, I like to say. But the service began, and to my delight, there they were singing hymns, which is unusual for me. One guitar, one hand drum, and a keyboard that were not on full volume. There were no flashing lights, you know, no hysteria. I think people were just glad to be back together. But the interesting thing that I heard that morning, it was the sound of people's voices singing praise to the Father. And rarely do I get to hear voices. The music didn't drown them out. It was simply the church being the church. And they were singing this, the gospel song of Living Hope. And it was so moving to hear the voices of Christians who haven't been together for a while unite back together. And they were singing this, who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of King calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. You know, this is just so beautiful. And this is just the way it's supposed to be.
Well, it is a marvelous thing, isn't it, when we truly are the church to worship the one true living God. That's when we are, that's when we are most alike with one another as the body of believers. It's a beautiful picture. It's just that we let our own expectations of how things should be, ought to be, or what we believe needs to be done, that we mess things up.
I think so too.
Can you imagine if we were solely in charge of the church ourselves, what a mess we'd make of it?
Oh, huge.
Man.
No, I know. And everybody has their own bent on what they like. But the point of this morning is don't forget the gospel in the midst.
Mm. Yeah.
Keep that forefront, because there are people sitting in those pews who have never heard the gospel. Because for some reason, we assume everybody has heard it. And the truth is, everybody has not heard it. And you know, when we're teaching our anchors classes to our students, every week we present the gospel. Why? Because maybe they didn't hear it the previous 10 weeks. You know, maybe it's that week they hear it. And I don't think that we can really share that enough, giving people the opportunity to be free, you know, so those chains of shame and guilt and all that stuff go away, because God chooses to forget and point us toward a new life, one that brings hopefully many people into the kingdom, but also one that promises, you know, perfect peace, perfect health, perfect eternity, mm-hmm. With other believers, especially God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So what a beautiful future we have, but we just got to persevere, and we can't go to church and be entertained. We have to be there, and so can the reason why we're there is a community to love, to help each other, and to celebrate who our Lord is and what he did for us.
Amen to all of that. Nancy, this has been great this morning. We appreciate it. And listen, we want to get you guys in touch with Anchors Away and find out about getting your teenager who's maybe about to graduate high school, go into college, involved with this ministry. They teach biblical worldview and help our kids learn how to defend their faith so that when they are challenged as they graduate and go off to school or just step out in life, and they are going to be challenged, they will be able to stand firmly. And that is so important. Nancy, thanks for this today. You have a great day.